started at 7:01. Our opening remarks will be given by council member Hanson and
Elaine, would you do the pledge?
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the trust circumstances which have been just together as a council, serving the citizenry of this great community. We're humbled by those who've gone before us, created this beautiful community, the values and the aesthetics and the good things that make this such a good place to live and raise our families. We pray that thou would bless the proceedings of this meeting, that we will do those things which are wise and which will be in the best interest of the citizenry now and in the future growth for this city. That we'll do those things which will be best for those who live here and those who will live here. We're grateful for those who have taken time out of their schedule to come attend this meeting, participate. And we are grateful for those who are serving our nation, home and abroad, at this time, that would watch over them. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
We get you to all rise and follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks. Get me, Wayne. By way of roll call, council members are all here with the exception of Kendrick. He's asked to be excused, and Rob's asked to be excused as well. Is Dave going to be here tonight, Michelle?
No, he won't be here.
They won't be here, okay. Okay, number five is to consider motion to approve the minutes of the meeting held on August 26, 2025.
Mayor, unless anybody has any corrections, I will move to approve the minutes from August 26, 2025.
Second.
A motion and a second. Council member Thomas.
Aye.
Carter.
Hanson, aye.
Street, aye.
Carries. Item six is to consider motion to approve the warrants and cash disbursements for June and July of 2025.
Hearing more questions, I would move to approve the warrants and net cash disbursements for June and July of 2025.
I'll second that.
And a motion and a second. Councilmember Talk.
Aye.
Hanson, aye.
Street, aye.
Motion carries. All right, the business portion. Item A is Sue Peterson to discuss the Wreaths Across America program. He placed wreaths on the graves of veterans in the Richfield Cemetery. Yes, please. There you go. Yeah, that's not a microphone, it just records.
Okay, that sounds good. I don't know if you're familiar with Wreaths Across America. They do put wreaths on the graves of veterans, and they're in Arlington Cemetery, the Punch Bowl. Most of Eric will talk about all that later. But we just thought it was a great idea. I have donated to this cause in the past. My grandson lives in St. George, and he's in the ROTC. Or he was, and he would go place the wreaths on the grave. It's all volunteer work. They have over 3 million volunteers nationwide. And we're hoping to get the list from the city of all of our veterans. And then we will set a goal of how much money we can raise to purchase those wreaths and put them on the grave in the cemetery. And what we'd like from the city is that list. And I talked to Terry Ann, and she said she would get that to me. Also, on December 13th, that's the nationwide event. And if we could maybe light the fire at the monument that day, it's usually around 12 o'clock noon. And the Richfield Area Chamber is also volunteered to help us achieve this goal and to work with us. So they're really going to probably be the ones who head it up. And Eric can tell you a little bit about what they do.
So Wreaths Across America, it started back in Maine, just a little background of them, where they had leftover wreaths. This wreath company back in the 90s, he wanted to make a difference, the founder of the organization. They took the wreaths to Arlington, and really it just expanded from there. There's over 5,000 cemeteries nationwide that Wreaths Across America works with. Like my mom said, it's all volunteer work. I mean, it costs the city nothing. Volunteers place the wreaths on the headstones of our veterans, and then we'll also remove them. Really, the mission of Wreaths Across America is to remember all of our veterans. The kind of the slogan is remember, honor, teach. Remember all of our veterans and their families, because that's a big part of it. Honor those who do serve, as well as have that launch into teaching the next generation the value of our freedoms, how lucky we are to be Americans, and all of that. And really with that, just kind of who I am and involved with it, my name's Eric Peterson. I grew up here. My wife, Charlene, back there, we actually just moved here 2 weeks ago. I'm probably a lot more well-known by my parents and grandparents, rightfully so. And especially my grandma, Mona Peterson. And if there's something that, I mean, those who know Mona know the, I mean, you can't even put into words who she was, really. But there's a couple of things she loved more than anything. And those were Richfield itself and our country, as well as, you know, honoring her family legacy. She always decorated all of the graves. And I know Tanner's really that same way with his grandma, Sonny. I mean, there was nothing more they loved than Richfield. And with that, I know how lucky we are to live in Richfield, to live in Utah, to be citizens of our country. And obviously, without our veterans and without those who really put forth that sacrifice, paid the ultimate sacrifice for us, we wouldn't have the lives and the blessings and all the enrichment we have in our lives today. So, and that's really, again, part of what Wreaths Across America is all about. It's about being thankful, remembering, honoring, and, you know, teaching the next generation really the value of freedom, just like we were taught. I mean, it's a great organization. I help with them all throughout the West Coast. It's located back in Maine. There's 5,000 cemeteries we work with nationwide. It's all volunteer work. I mean, it's like we've said, and yeah, I think it'd be something that would be great to honor all of our veterans who were born here, raised here, died here, as well as their families, and to really let their families know that them and their sacrifices aren't forgotten.
What was the date on that?
December 13th.
Mm-hmm. The second Saturday of December.
And so logistically, so you get wreaths, are they like Christmas wreaths?
So we call them veterans wreaths. I mean, it's a non-denominational, non-religious organization. But yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. They're just like Christmas wreaths. They get shipped out. The headquarters is in Maine. They get shipped out all throughout the country. Each wreath sponsorship is $17. That includes the cost of the shipping. That includes the production of the wreath. And then, yeah, like I said, the volunteers will place the wreaths on the headstones. And then, you know, whether it's 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I mean, that can be for the cemetery to decide. Different cemeteries have different rules, but volunteers will then go remove them after that. Yeah, I mean, so Wreaths Across America has also done, partnered with other veteran organizations, Wounded Warrior, Tunnels of the Towers, things like that. And over the past 30 years has also been able to contribute some $28 million to other veteran causes as well. So it's like, I mean, a lot of the partnerships with these other causes is a big part of what Wreaths Across America does as well.
And so we will try and have people donate.
Well, and
they have a website. The Chamber of Commerce is going to send it out to businesses, and then individuals can
And any money, you know, I mean, it's like we said, we create a page for the Chamber of Commerce. People can go donate or sponsor wreaths on there. Every single penny will go towards wreaths that are going to the Richfield Cemetery. I mean, it doesn't go anywhere else. It doesn't go to any individual. It'll just go directly to honoring the veterans here in town.
Have you had any dialogue with the VFW group or anything?
We have. We're just starting right now.
We need help, caller.
Okay. Great. No, that would be great. I mean, so there'll be like, I mean, the logistics of it is there'll be a 15-minute ceremony to start out. We would love to have someone at the VFW, you know, speak and, you know, maybe share their story or, you know, or whatever. And then afterwards, there'll be the actual laying of the wreaths on the headstones. So probably no more than an hour all in, but again, a 15-minute ceremony that would precede the actual laying of the wreaths.
So what do we need to do to help? What do you need from us?
That's a great question. Really, I guess the promoting of the Chamber of Commerce is sponsorship page.
And then you're
going to add in your newsletter. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there'll be a QR code,
so people, we won't handle any money at all. They go to this QR code and they can donate there.
Yep. I mean, it's, like I said, one wreath is $17, whether someone could do one wreath, 10 wreaths, whatever. It all makes a difference. And yeah, I mean, you can customize your contribution. And yeah, like I said, any amount obviously goes a long way.
Well, thank you. That sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, and I'm happy to share my information. If you have any questions with me, I know we're working with Kenzie Anderson on it as well. But yeah, I'm happy to share any more details, answer any questions, whatever you need to.
You can get on the website as well. It's beautiful. The cemeteries are really amazing.
Yeah.
And they try and get every headstone. I'm not sure we'll be able to do that this year, but we're hoping every year it just grows and grows.
Yeah, there's a lot of veterans buried in our cemetery.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's beautiful seeing all the flags at Memorial Day, right? And this could maybe be another way to do that, seeing the wreaths, you know, around Christmas time.
Perfect. No, Rob's not here, but if there was a general agreement, I think it'd be cool for us to donate to some degree to this cause. Not on, you know, I don't know if that's something we discussed tonight, but I think that would be appropriate.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I have an uncle that I was close to in Vietnam. And so I want to honor, and that's what we
yeah, and something else I thought of, I mean, we could, you know, get your opinion on it. So, obviously I grew up right by the cemetery where my parents lived. Loved going on walks there. Loved reading the headstones. I better not forget his name here, but I think it's Leroy Michael Jensen. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. I've just seen his headstone. But he actually died in World War I. And according to the inscription on his grave, he was the first veteran who was actually born in Richfield who died serving in a war, again, during World War I over in Europe. And it would maybe be something cool to, hey, let's highlight him this year and let's highlight someone else next year and let's, you know, go at it that way. Something like that could be cool to think of as well.
Perfect. Sounds great. Oh, absolutely. Well, I guess.
Thank you.
For me, you do.
Okay, yeah, so we think we're...
I don't hear anybody complaining.
Thank you,
we appreciate that.
Oh, thank you, appreciate that. That's a good cause. Okay, item B is neighbors on Indian Hills Drive to discuss the location of a group home at 888 North Indian Hills Drive.
So we're just concerned about businesses moved in onto our street. That's a community group home moving in without any business license or conditional use permit. Do you want to read your statement?
Sure. I'll have a copy of this for you guys, but I just prepared a written statement because I get nervous. So my name is Sarah Condor. I live near 888 North Indian Hills Drive. I'm here tonight because of serious concerns about the group home recently placed in our neighborhood by Rise Services. This facility was introduced without notice, without city approval, and without any opportunity for the neighbors to ask questions. While federal law allows group homes for people with disabilities in residential areas, it does not justify bypassing transparency or community engagement. We care deeply about our neighborhood and the children who live there, but right now there's no clear way to report concerns or get answers. Complaints must go through the state, which feels distant and ineffective. The property's ownership is convoluted, spanning multiple LLCs and states with ties to a private equity firm in Arizona. This makes accountability nearly impossible. Already we've seen issues like speeding and smoking near homes, but we have no idea who to contact. Richfield zoning rules require these homes to be licensed, maintain a residential feel, and limit the number of residents. Yet within a quarter mile, there are now four congregate living facilities threatening the character of our neighborhood. What stops this company from buying more homes on our street and turning it into a corridor of group homes? According to city officials, Rise Service lacks a local business license. As a contracted provider under DHHS contract, they are required to comply with all local laws. Operating without a license may violate both city code and state contract terms. At a recent open house, we learned that the property may be a long-term rental. If so, it should follow the same rules as any other rental: business licensing, inspections, and nuisance compliance. It appears the company is selectively applying laws to suit its business model. Our core concern is safety for the residents of the home, our children, our neighbors, and the employees. We support equal opportunity and inclusive housing, but not at the expense of neighborhood peace or public safety. I respectfully ask the council to, number one, ensure this facility complies with all city ordinances and appropriate zoning laws, spacing, licensing, zoning, building codes, and oversight. Number two, ensure that they maintain compliance with DHHS licensing, oversight, and inspection requirements. And three, require a designated contact or committee to address neighborhood concerns as they arise to improve safety. Thank you for listening and caring about our community.
So that sums it all up. We just thought we just snuck in there. We don't know who to go to if you have any questions. It's not like we want to just get out of there. We're fine if they're there, but we just want to make sure that we know how many people are going to live there, who to go to if there's any kind of issue. And right now we don't. We just thought we just snuck in there, you know, and how many people are living there. And I asked Michelle, maybe, I know that the city attorney's talked to their attorney, is that correct? Any update as far as where that is?
I believe there's a criminal, as to what?
Yeah. What's that?
Actually, I got an email.
The only thing that they're really, you're right. I understand why you feel like they snuck in there.
They did, certainly.
But the only thing that they've done wrong is not went through the business license and our process of doing that. And I don't know why. I don't know if they just chose to do that or if they felt like where they had a business license in the city already, that covered all of that, which it certainly doesn't. And so, from my understanding, I wish Dave was here, because he's been dealing with this pretty much, but we're in the process of trying to get them to come in and get that business license squared away. And if they don't, we can absolutely shut it down. I don't know what the time frame on that would be. Do you, or is there a time frame?
And isn't the conditional use permit even just as important as the business license?
Yes, they have to have a conditional use permit in order to be able to get the business license to locate.
But by our ordinances and our city laws, we can't deny that. Mm-hmm. We would be going against our own ordinances and laws. I guess we could, but it's kind of hypocritical for us to have laws and not follow them.
Which is fine. I mean, I've done a lot of research into fair housing because that was the initial reaction from the business, is that we were going to venture into discrimination territory. They wouldn't actually have to apply for a conditional use permit, is what I've read, but there can be accommodations granted, and I think there's prior court cases that would say that the conditional process can create bias, and so There is another way to go about that, which would be to request a special accommodation to be granted that permit. And I don't think any of us are saying deny the permit. For me personally, I want a way to have issues addressed when they come up. And right now, I do not feel that the manager of that office is in a position to do that, because these would be corporate issues. If there was an issue with an employee, for example, the smoking issue, who can I call about that? Don't know. I don't think Alicia's going to get very far with it. And that's why I proposed the committee, where somebody that has a higher level of authority and oversight could participate in to hear our concerns, because they're not living in that neighborhood. They have no truly vested interest in what happens there, aside from, you know, maybe they lose a patient, somebody decides to leave. Well, it's a business. They'll replace it with another one. So far, 30 days in, minimal complaints. Now, the like internal mama bear in me can think 5 years down the road and envision a lot of horrible scenarios happening. And I try to kind of squash that, because that leads to, you know, fear and things that may not happen. But I want something set up that can be a little more proactive than simply relying on the existing laws and ordinances on the books when something does happen. If somebody speeds down the street, I can't call a police officer and have any sort of, you know, anything be resolved with that. The car, you know, they're going to... Well, I could, but if it's a visitor and the car's gone and who knows how long it takes them to respond, instead of bothering the police with speeding, I'd rather have a committee set up where I can go direct to the company and say, hey, could you talk to your employees and maybe let the visitors know there are kids in this neighborhood, you really need to watch your speed on this street. To me, that seems a more appropriate solution than bugging the police all the time for minor things.
Well, you make two good points. The one you're just talking about is a separate issue all by itself, quite frankly. You're not getting the speeders because of the type of home they're visiting. I get speeders up my street coming to pick their little girls up from dance lessons every week. So, but your concern is legitimate. I'm not trying
to... No, and that's a business, and you could go to the owner of the dance studio and say, hey, could you please talk to your moms when they come pick up their kids? They're speeding down the street. We don't have that ability, because if you look at the ownership structure, the home is owned by Rise Legacy Development LLC. And you can search that on Utah state website, and it tracks, it'll tell you it's a foreign registered LLC in Arizona. So then you go to Arizona and look that up, and it ties to a trade name. And then that trade name ties back to a business in Utah. Like, the whole entire structure is so convoluted. How do I get a person that could resolve these issues outside of the police if they're violating an actual law? The smoking in front of people's houses, I don't know that that's a law, but it's certainly annoying.
Yeah, and I think we just like to be protected, so we know it's just going to be disabled people. We don't want to hear from now and think, right, so, you know, we can make more money if we have...
They can only have three, and one of them is a healthcare worker, so they can only have three clients in the house at any one time.
And so what's our action if suddenly we see four in there, five in there? Because I'm watching go in and out of the basement, totally remodeling this house.
Well,
what's our action?
But that's like if I have somebody come and remodel my house and there's five guys working there. I mean, that's, I'm talking patients. I'm talking people that are...
No.
That are the question is, what are we going to do if more get in there, you know?
Call
the city. What action do we have to say?
Call the city. Call the city. That would be my recommendation. That would be my recommendation. If there is excessive speeding up there, I would say call the city. If you have a license plate in a particular car, I would think it would be better for us to handle that through them than to have you people in the community out doing that.
We've been talking a lot.
No, my biggest concern is they just come in through the back door. You know, they come in, they don't abide by city rules. I mean, I've done a business, right? Maybe next time I won't buy my city license. Because they didn't. What's good for the goose needs to be good for the gander. And we all have rules that we need to abide by. City ordinances are there for a purpose. Their size, that's period. No excuses. they say they're in compliance, they're not. Bottom line. And as Jim mentioned, if they don't have a business license, if they don't have a variance, say we can have these mentally challenged people there, which is fine. We're not against that. It's the process, but 2 years down the road, they can't compete. Sex offenders or drug rehab has more money than a mentally disabled. So, we'll just do that. Because they haven't got, if they come to the planning commission and are licensed for mentally handicapped, but so far they're not. So, well, that's what I'm saying, that down the road that they don't change their model and bring in other people.
That's what we're trying to do, is get them into here to do that.
I know, so they haven't done it. So that's our concern. They haven't abided by the law. I don't, period.
So what's your suggestion? Do we try to work with them and get them in to do it, or do we go up and shut them down?
My suggestion would be to meet with them. If they're unwilling to meet, which they can, they were, my understanding just in talking to Dave, is that they came, they were on the agenda for the July planning. They were in no-show. And in August, they were in no-show. So, sounds to me like they don't really care. If they contacted them and were emotional, they don't care. They're above the law. They're above the process that the city has. So if they're not willing to comply, then they shouldn't be here. If they're willing to comply and go through the process, then great.
Okay, so what do you suggest we should do? What's your suggestion at this point?
I would meet with them and say, I would say to them, hey, this is the concerns that we have. If you come in on this day and meet with us, sit down, and if they come, great, sit down, discuss it. Let's get their business license. Let's get their use permit or whatever they need to do. If they don't come, then hey, maybe that's 3 strikes or not. I don't know. They've had opportunities.
If I don't get my
business license, what would you do?
I probably wouldn't even know you didn't do it.
Yeah. So somebody would, and then somebody else, I didn't pay my property tax. I didn't want to do this or that. Eventually, I've got to be accountable. That's a lot of money. They need to be accountable to the city for what they're doing. Not that the city.
And I think that's the process we're in right now with our attorney and such.
Carry a lot of weight because it doesn't require them to pay a lot of money, but it still could be a violation, and I believe that violation could be every day, so the amount could be charged anyway, but that's something that we have to get to the attorney, but our ordinance does allow them to be cited for the class meetings. Okay.
And I'm great with that, but I'm trying to figure out where are we at with this process of getting them in here?
Well, they have chosen not to come in.
Twice.
They have chosen not to.
And now Dave's made contact with them one more time, right?
Yes.
Is there a date? I didn't.
There's not a date.
Has there been any like good faith communication?
The only communication, if you read the email, was the communication that they have with our attorney and their attorney. For instance, when they very first called Dave about getting a business license, Dave told them, well, our ordinance requires you to get a conditional use permit from the planning commission and a business license. And the guy said, you're discriminating and you can't discriminate. That's how Dave was approached. Mm-hmm. Dave said, I'm not discriminating, and that's our ordinance, and you have to follow it. So that's when Dave got the attorney involved, and they met with his, or they had a call, conference call with his, their attorney and them, and Eric told them, you have to comply with this ordinance. This is our ordinance. You have to comply with this in order to get a business license. You can't do business at that location. And they've still chosen not to do anything.
Well, then there is nothing discriminatory in that, because we get conditional use permits all the time for home-based businesses. That's not foreign to us.
So, and part of the conditional use would set it to be that it would be mentally handicapped people, and that there would be 4 people that could be allowed in that house. Because our definition of a family is 4 unrelated people.
Right.
So they can have 3 residents plus the caretaker that's there.
Right. The reason I believe they're claiming discrimination is because, based on the limited research I've done, since this has all come up, you can't require, even if it's a business representing disabled individuals, to do anything that you wouldn't require another household of three unrelated individuals to do. And so I think that's the way they're approaching it. My recommendation would honestly be to see if they would accept the terms of maybe not a planning commission, like those steps, but to grant the conditional use permit with some of these requirements, that we have some sort of recourse in the neighborhood to have future concerns addressed. And that's my biggest concern. I can't see 2, 3, 5, 10 years down the road, and we don't know how the residents are going to change. What, when they say mental disabilities, that's a broad spectrum. It actually includes, by federal standards, rehab situations. So alcohol and drug situations is considered a disability. And so you couldn't, you would have the same issue if that type of home tried to come in.
To me, the fact that they're not doing anything is a red flag. You know, it makes it, just makes it seem sketchy. Like, why are you trying to sneak in here like this? You know? So I guess I ask you, what's the city's next step?
Well, my suggestion would be we just send up Eric write him a letter and give him a 20 days, 15 days, whatever's appropriate. If they don't show up, then we'll just go cite them.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you maybe can start citing them every day,
Seems like a very simple solution. Oh, just come to the planning commission, get your business license, and this won't be. The fact that they're not willing to do that, I kind of agree with you. I mean, again, I don't know the full story, but it seems like, as a business owner, somebody's like, hey, we're going to cite you if you don't do this. You need to come with a compliance. It's almost embarrassing to where you go, sorry, let me get that paid. Let me do that. The fact that they're not willing to do that seems odd.
And I don't want to sound like I'm approaching this strictly from the side of our concerns. When I looked on the Department of Health and Human Services website to make sure that they were a registered facility with them, at that point, they were not. And then my concern becomes, you have two mentally, intellectually disabled individuals in that home, one who's nonverbal. What's the oversight to protect them? I have since learned, because the certificate or whatever the Department of Health and Human Services granted was provided to Dave, and he gave me a copy of that. The state denied my grammar request, which I'm appealing at the moment, because I think that should be available, as well as information on inspections. But there's multiple concerns here for a business that is not appearing to want to follow the law as it's set.
I agree. That's, as you stated very well, Ms. Richardson, that's really the issue, period, as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate all of Sarah's research and her concern about business. The bottom line, really, for me is I bought a lot, I built a home in a residential area, and that's where I want to live. And I didn't, you know, that's where I live, in a residential area. I don't want a business next door to me. I don't care if it's a pet grooming business, I don't care if it's a nail salon. Whoever decides to put a business in their home should be required to meet the ordinances, the laws, the standards, the rules, whatever. It doesn't matter to me what it is. And I feel like the city needs to do the due diligence and enforce those rules. And, you know, if they get the special use permit or whatever, you know, Sarah wants to talk to them. I don't want to talk to anybody. I want to have some recourse here, you know, as this business is next door to me. If there's 14 cars out of it, there every day, if the yard's not taken care of, you know, I own a business. We can't smoke 30 feet from the business. I don't want to smoke in there, whatever business it is. If it's a nail salon, a hair salon, anything. I think the rules need to be clear, and if they're not adhered to, then we have some legal recourse. I don't want to call up a company and say, oh, hey, you know, you're nicer than me. I don't want to say, you know, somebody's cheating, somebody's this and that. I want the rules to be very clear. If this is not, you know, taking, if you do not abide by these, you're pulling your license and you're done. That's how I feel, you know?
Well, that's why I said that the issue, as far as I'm is what I stated. And I appreciate what you just said as well. I actually have little experience. It wasn't dealing with this company. They have people we dealt with are straightforward, but I had a home over in a nice residential area, actually near SUU over in Cedar City. We had one of these homes in our neighborhood. It happened to be the one on my street. It was my back fence neighbor, actually. And a person passed away, and the estate sold that to one of these types of businesses. And I had some heartburn about that. Living in that situation for more than 10 years, the only impact I ever observed was that some of those disabled people started attending church with us and got to know some of them. I actually had the unique situation of conducting a funeral for one of those people when they passed away that was living in that home. So as far as what the business is supposed to be, if it's done up front and properly, is not a blight on the neighborhood. It's not any more of a concern for safety or anything than somebody else that might be living next door that's dealing drugs out of their home that we don't know about, you know what? But so as far as the use, I don't see that as what my heartburn is. It's how they've approached this, that they won't just come and get it, like, get a conditional use permit and get a business license, just like someone that wants to do nails in their home or whatever else.
The only thing I would say in response to that, and I'm going to put Lacey on the spot for just a second, and she's going to hate me for this. She has very intimate contact with the disabled community. She has a brother with Down syndrome. It can be very innocent, the way that you have explained, but she has personal experience with people that aren't that way, that were, in fact, dangerous. It can happen. I don't want to sound like try to look at it from the perspective of these are people that were never allowed for their intellectual capabilities to be developed. So they don't know right from wrong, and that can cause problems. Personally, I haven't seen it, so she would have to speak to the instances if she wanted to, but it can happen. And I think that's, as mothers, that's where our concern is coming from.
Well, I think the point's well taken. I think we understand where you're coming from. We obviously need to reach out to them, whatever that is. We reach out to their attorney and give them a deadline of compliance or to start that process, or we'll just have to close it down, I guess. We have that right, that authority, so I don't know. But you talk about class being misdemeanors, Tanner. There's one individual in town that I don't know how many times they've been given tickets for barking dogs.
Yeah.
They're still getting tickets for barking dogs, and they go pay that fine, and it goes on and on and on and on, and you can't do anything about it. They go down, or you think they get tired of paying the fine. They don't.
I've done the same with the 10th ticket. I get it, but... But if you're being fined every single day, at some point it becomes a non-viable business.
You would think, yeah.
Well, the bottom line is they don't have a business license. Forget the class B business. They don't have a business license.
Yeah.
You can shut them down.
Yeah.
And they'll come in. And then they'll come in and get a business license.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to, if you're going to have ordinances, which we do, we all abide by it, we're law abiding citizens. They're not. So you have, as a city, you have to make the choice. Are we going to enforce the law? Or we can rock ourselves and go the other way. That's really the bottom line that the city has. You have the ability and the duty to enforce what you've already put on the books. So the ball's really, I think, in the city's court to do due diligence in enforcing what you already believe. That's on the books. It's your past ordinances. And if they don't comply, they've already asked that too. Three strikes, you're out. I don't know. They've had plenty of opportunity. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a barking dog. You just go pay the 25 fine. This is, I think, far more routine. and they're in violation right now of city ordinances. Give them notice, be fair with them, say, hey, you gotta come in and do this, or this is the consequence. They don't show up, and they have been warned.
I think that's what I said. If our attorney gets a hold of their attorney and we give them a deadline, then you'd be surprised how bad we get beat up in court on a lot of things that we're totally in the right. And this is kind of a unique one where they what they're doing there, right? What's that?
I realize it's a touchy issue. And anytime we're dealing with handicap and disability challenge, it's hard. It's not like they're not loved. It's not like they're not appreciated. My biggest thing is the law that's on the books. And they just haven't done it. And if you don't, and if you're afraid to go to court, if that's what it comes to, then you shouldn't have the laws on the books to begin with. I mean, you have laws to be followed, and then you go from there.
When did you guys hear about this?
When?
Yeah, when did you hear about this issue?
When we got the email, I think you initially got the email from you. Yeah, that was the first I heard about it.
You guys, when did you hear about it?
I think that first email Sarah sent was for, I mean, I know the people, the Pollocks lived in the home and all like that. I knew the home sold, but.
The home sold, they fixed.
Yeah.
Purchased the old term community services around the same time. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of remodeling going on. And I heard rumors about what they were going to do with it, and it happened overnight almost. By the time we raised the issue, within a week, they were moving residents in. So it was.
Well, they probably should have come in and got a building.
Right. Too. And that's another concern because I believe they've remodeled the deck in the back, and that could pose a safety issue to the residents there. I know if I put a deck on my home, I have to have a building inspector come out and look at it.
I think Dave might have said they got a building permit.
I don't know that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think maybe he said they did get one. But don't hold me to that.
I can't hear you, Jim. What did
you say? I said I think Dave said they did get a building permit. But I could be wrong.
Would we have seen that? Or it went through the county?
We would have seen it.
I think we all know we're out here, so stop beating this dead dog. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Josh, Planning Commission report.
All right, this is the Planning Commission report for September 3rd, 2025. Everyone was present for roll call. Administrative actions, we did a conditional use permit for Corey McGee to extend a non-conforming use extension of his carport into a garage forward. So the non-conforming part is how close it is to the property line. So it's going to be a steel building. It's going to come forward. It'll still sit behind his house and the neighbor's house. When we looked at fire safety, the neighbor would still have roughly 12 feet from his building to their house for someone to get access in the backyard through them. And we looked at total coverage of the lot to make sure he wasn't overcovering the lot. He's not. We approved that one after a lot of discussion. Item 2B, Richfield Pediatric Dental. Reviewed the staff report on the development, and we decided to approve that building layout with some information that they were still going to give to the city on a couple items.
What was that again?
Richfield Kids Dental. So it's okay. Up there at Centennial Park.
Okay.
The conditions we put on it, I need to do a heavy geotech report to make sure their building's not going to sink. Want a drainage study, seeing where all that water's going to go. Want to look at, they're wanting to do a bunch of signage, and we want to see kind of a signage plan, and then we wanted to see how many parking stalls they were actually going to put because of how they use the basement. If it's a separate business, they need more parking spots. If it's just storage, they've got plenty. There's a discussion item. Kelly Magleby talked to Dave. Dave told him no a bunch of times, and he still wanted the planning commission to look at it. So on 100 West, they've got that little parking lot across from the mortuary that Classic has their some of their new vehicles in. He wants to turn that into an enclosed storage building, and that doesn't fit within the downtown zone use. So we said no.
Like storage units or for his own business?
It'd be for him personally, and then him to rent out storage to other people, like indoor boat storage type stuff. We said no. Public hearing. We did a public hearing on the city's an update to the city's development standards. There was no public, so I closed that. We discussed the updates with Kendall, went through some of the comments. Recommend approval for that city development standards update. I did ask that they, on the ADA ramps on the curb inlets for the sidewalk, I said, I want someone to make sure those are current because they're dated 2023. And I know UDOT has to update theirs at minimum yearly to keep up with the federal guidelines. Item 6, minute approvals. We approved the minutes. Other business was what you guys just listened to. Dave kind of told us about that. Gonna let that play out. Not touching it. And then went to adjournment.
Over covering, what is the percentage of lot that we have covered?
60%.
60%.
Okay. And he would have been pushing maybe 45, 50 tops.
So he's well under that.
Yeah, he was underneath that.
Just set back? Is that what we're worried about, or is it okay too?
Yeah, just on his east boundary. It's next to the property line. He has 18 inches of the property line currently, and he just wants to build straight out. His neighbor's Roxanne Wade-Rant. She's on the commission. She said, I don't have an issue with it.
But if he's non-flammable, he can be within it. Mm-hmm. He can be closer, right?
I think he can. I think within yeah, 6 inches. A foot, 6 inches.
So, yeah, I think he's probably okay.
Yeah.
So,
improve it.
Yeah, it's got to be non-combustible. Okay. Thank you. Yep. Jared and Devin.
So when we met a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the additional expenses on 1800 South Sidewalk, and it was voted to table any kind of a decision for a couple of weeks for some internal review and evaluation. I don't know how that all worked out, but basically the bottom line is that the project needs about $47,600 more to be able to go forward. And so we had prepared that letter that you have in front of you. It's a draft letter for UDOT to be able to go forward with.
We've spent how much so far on
as far as design?
Yes.
I don't know all of the costs, only what we're aware of, but you're pushing $80,000. Okay. And we are about 85% designed on the project.
Okay.
So if you choose to approve the additional funds, this letter would be need to be signed by you, Mayor, and sent to UDOT with that commitment. And then we could start the right-of-way process and go forward with the rest of the design. Excuse me, the rest of the design and advertisement.
So my concern, Tanner, not just yeah. Just one. My concern is this is going to go up another 7 or 8% for us.
By the time we advertise.
Yeah.
So because we've had to come back multiple times, this number has extra built-in contingency, so we're hoping to not have to come back again.
What you see is 17%, in that number, 17% contingency.
So just to make sure I understand, so our portion is going to be 372,000, 80 of which roughly we've already spent?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to spend about another 300 grand to get it done. I've chewed on this a fair amount. talked to people that live there. I think we're just in this too deep at this point, especially considering we own property across the street. I feel like it makes more sense to cut our losses. I think it sucks that we've spent the 80 grand, but to spend another 300 because we've already spent 80 is an economic fallacy. I think it makes more sense, especially considering all the stuff we're up against with the pool, to put this one down for now and look at, instead of involving the feds in this project, doing it ourselves. Talked a little bit with Keith. If we did it ourselves, it'd be a significantly cheaper. I mean, even at the grossly, you know, bloated estimation, it would still save us $100,000, I think, compared to what it would look like if we did it with the government's help. So just one person's opinion, but that's what I think.
Can I speak up? We need to be, this needs to be responsible economic, but being over there now for a couple of months, the amount of foot traffic on that road, I think is the most foot traffic there is. I mean, I guess compared to any other road we have for sure that doesn't have people on it, it's got to get there. And I'll say that road is also really narrow and doesn't have like a lot of hills behind the side, and it's not being small. It's not like, oh, people are moving out there, it's going to be, you know, elderly without children, it's just going to get bigger. There's more to it. It's blowing up over there. And I think that, yeah, like, some costs are relevant and we got to do what's ever the best for this week before. I completely agree with that. But I think my concern is being like 7 to 8 months ever. It's like, certainly not trying to go. Whatever, speak for the year, but if something needs to be done over there because of the golf course and draws a certain amount and work, the city is selling alcohol at that golf course. And I'm left, right? And so we're in the city, we're in the vicinity, we're coming out and having a few drinks and come with and out of that thing. I think something needs to be done, but whatever side of that road that's on, fine, but like, I think my concern right now, I understand that this has kind of been going on for a while, this has been a multiple-year project, but if we're going to say, okay, let's cut the feds out and do something else, then I think that, like, can we at least have a plan in place for that before we cut this out? That's my concern, because at the end of the day, like, we have to be responsible stewards of the money, but I think that there are genuine material risk of harm here.
Yeah, I'll add to that. When it came up a couple of years ago, I had the same talking point. Thinking about the alcohol component, but we walk that road a lot. Kids walk it, we drive it a lot. Very hard. I have a lot of the same thoughts as Tanner. I've been out there a lot lately. I parked it, you know, down toward Dennis's house the other day. Just to see, I mean, how many people want to buy it. Something is needed. I still agree. I don't see how we spend another $300,000+ or almost $300,000 because we spent 80. I think we have options we can do just to get a job in house or something like that.
That's probably 1.5 times what it would cost us to do on the other side of the street.
The other side of the street is one thing. There's also two huge cornfields. The majority of that vacant ground, the gentleman that owned it forever that never wanted to sell, has passed in the last year or 18 months. I think that just a matter of time. People are approaching him. That property will get developed sooner than later. Obviously, if it closed for 5 or 7 or 10 years, that doesn't accomplish anything. But if they come in and develop, that changes things. We're not buying it right away. their development would require them to put in a sidewalk. There are some options I think we should explore before we feel commit to another $300,000.
There's obviously concerns about what that would do to the golf course, but really, because this is as bloated as it is because it's a federal project, I think if, whatever, if it wasn't a federal project, and mayor or me or anyone could go to each of those landowners and say, hey, the city's going to build a sidewalk here, but you've got to give us an easement to build it for free. It's going to increase the value of your property. Work with us here. I think every one of those property owners in likelihood would do that. And then we wouldn't have to abide by the federal rules that are associated with this money that we're being given. I'm not saying that that's what we actually do, but we own the land across the street, and there's, I think, just as much of an opportunity for us to build it on the other side of the street if we need to. I just think because they're federal dollars, it's gotten kind of gross.
Is this, will this be Bacon Davis when this goes out?
Yes.
Where it's the federal, yes, right?
Absolutely.
State's not, but federal is, correct? Right. So that, is that baked into this?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a big addition to that as well.
Right. Do we, Mayor, can I ask one question? Do we have to pay right-of-ways through this? Or actually forced, we have to pay them, or if a landlord says we're willing to donate to the city and you put a sidewalk in?
Through the federal process, you have to offer compensation. The property owner doesn't have to accept compensation, but when it's offered, it's almost never denied. One thing I would add to that, too, if the city does decide to not move forward with this process, a lot of the work we've done doesn't necessarily go to waste. We can provide you with the design, with the, we have right-of-way documents with the credits already drawn up. Yeah. So we have to walk over, say, this is what we're taking, sign here.
Yeah, because so, we paid for that. We could use what we paid for.
And I appreciate what you've done.
Thank you.
I know that's not been that easy. It's challenging, especially with some of the drainage out there.
For sure. Yeah.
You know, and there's another issue, too. I feel like when that develops, that drainage is going to change. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be draining the cornfield no longer. It's going to be a whole different animal. I don't know if that's figured into this as far as putting something in that's going to serve both masters.
Yeah, we had designed in some drainage to take on the tailwater, but we didn't design any future subdivision hard surfaces.
What we kind of have is a shallow, wide ditch on the front side of sidewalk to carry water, and then on the back we have a tailwater ditch for the fields, assuming that if it were developed, some sort of storm drain would connect on to existing subdivisions to go through that. So kind of little gravel swell between the roadway and the sidewalk.
Yeah, and that's a big concern, too, because the only out we have is under the airport, and it's not very out.
We mentioned it last 2 weeks ago, but Devin has designed it, so it's set up for future Curtain Gutter as well. So it's ready to go if you were to choose Curtain Gutter.
That almost seems like a better way to do it. If we can, somebody, and can get the landowners to agree to it, we've spent the money to design on that side of the road. That would be.
Even if we have to buy those rights away, the difference in cost is,
yeah,
so far, that's still more, way more doable.
Yeah.
It always seemed like you get one person that wants to hold you hostage. Done enough of these, you just do. And usually you can wait them out. You know exactly what I mean. Because they don't have to accept what you offer. And unfortunately, sometimes they determine what the neighbors are going to get also at some point in time. But even if we have to do that, it's the difference in cost, I don't think it's...
I think it looked pretty promising, though, when we met with the property owners here, and even individually outside that meeting, everyone was excited for the project. So
yeah,
we didn't see any resistance so far, but that doesn't say that there's not.
There's always that guy that just... Yeah.
Well, at the fault of nobody, you can actually see where this was when it originally started with these numbers, mm-hmm. and it's inflation that's drove this, and that's 100, almost $150,000, $160,000. It's just gone up, that amount of time is causing.
So maybe on that point, so if let's say this would be some money, but
Rest assured, we've thought about this in a little more depth than that, and this isn't a public hearing.
Todd and McKeith, I mean, I know these are estimates, but it sounds like we can do it at a significantly more reasonable price, and we already are in the driver's seat if we do it on the golf course side, and it would happen faster than potentially this project has.
So if you do move it to the golf course side, there's no design on that
sure.
side.
Yeah.
But you basically already designed it.
Yeah, for the north side.
But what would be the, how hard would it be to just, I mean, I know it'd have to be resurveyed, but as far as the design part of it, would it be applicable to put that on that side, or what's your thoughts? You've looked at it.
As far as going, I guess my main concern is getting where you get to the golf course clubhouse. There's a little steep hill going up there. There's certain requirements for sidewalk slopes and things like that. And then with the parking lots and things, would we go in front, like on the roadside of the clubhouse up around there? Or the sidewalk go around the clubhouse, probably something like that? That might be the tricky part.
It could be a challenge going up that slope. By the clubhouse, yeah.
And over, yeah. Going up near the
kind of steep right there.
I don't know that we could put any kind of a curb there. There'd have to be a waterway, and I don't know if that would even work.
You guys are really good.
What's your max slope? 5% max.
Running slope, meaning like going forward if you're walking along the sidewalk, 5% is the maximum grade. Unless you have a handrail, then you can go up to 8%.
Steep right there at the end.
Yeah, it's steep.
I think it would be a doable hill, were it not. If the road is really narrow through that section, so I worry about being able to. Like if you raised the sidewalk above the road, you'd have some sort of drop off. So if the grade was too steep through that section, it'd be kind of tight to try to work that in there.
The drop off the back of the sidewalk?
Well, yeah, or the front if the road changed grade.
Is there an opposing view on this, or can I make a motion?
let's see.
How do you feel? Yep, Elaine, any?
I think Tanner has stated it very, very well, what we're up against. We shouldn't be held hostage to $80,000 we've already spent. That's not a compelling reason to do anything different than what we just discussed, I think.
Well, I would motion that we abandon
the current form of the 1800 South Bike Project as it currently stands.
Second.
You want to add to your motion and look into another way to do that with our own resources?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'd motion that we abandon the current outline of the 1800 South Bike Project with the idea that we propose a new self-contained city-funded project. So should I put a date on it? By?
No.
Okay.
It's abandoned.
Is that too, does that,
well, is that
that's offensive?
Kind of abandoned. I don't know. That's pretty
hard. Cancel.
Cancel the approval of more funds for the project. I guess.
Right. You not.
A motion that we cancel the current funding for the 1800 South Bike Project with the idea that we do a self-contained city-funded project shortly.
I'll continue to second that.
Good job, Tanner.
We got a lot of shots.
Thanks. Very eloquent.
Motion in the second.
Thompson, aye.
Thompson.
Sorry.
Thompson, aye. Hanson, aye.
Street, aye.
Okay. Motion carries.
We'll be in touch with Michelle. Carries work with Michelle and have her send a letter to you, Doc.
Yeah.
A formal letter to cancel it.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You'll your files.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we got it.
Okay, item E is McLean Farmer to discuss the software program by Palix and the cost associated with the continued use by the city.
Okay, I think you guys have seen this software. I showed it to you once. I know I showed it to you once. the Public Works Department, Keith and his guys have been using it for probably 9 months now, full time. And we started using this for the pavement assessment side of things when we did that pavement assessment for you guys. So we started using it for you guys in August. So there's two parts of this software. It's one is the pavement assessment piece. The second part of it is the work order management. It all comes in one package. I'm going to tell you up front before I even show you what it is. It's $8,500 per year. And that's all based on mileage, just mileage of roads. So they charge you based on the mileage of the road itself. So how it works is Keith can go drive the roads as many times as he wants. He gets a picture every 10 to 12 feet. The girls in the office here can use it. Dave can use it. The Public Works Department can use it. All that imagery data to see the most up-to-date imagery. And then they can also use it as a work order management system. So I'll just quickly show you the imagery that comes through. I can find my... It's not going to reach.
So it assesses every 10 feet and then it gives you an average for that road. So you guys can plan on what maintenance strategies to use and what to be on each road. That's how we determine different treatment types in the city and projects to use it. On the work order side, just so that we're not all on the plane.
Yeah.
Our next project is also picking up all our street signs, stop signs. The signs are all, like, actually, glad to look at. If there's an accident, top line that they got here on this day. You can see if they're hidden, dirty, so like it just been hidden one, but this one, there's a green around it, so it's telling me to go here.
Fine, so it automatically told you it was a hidden stop sign.
Correct.
And sorry, this camera is attached to someone's car that's up. How often is it updated? It's on yours?
So it's like an iPhone, right?
Okay.
Unless you're driving, it's taken.
And it's attached to your truck? Or?
Any truck, any truck.
Okay, but there's only one, I guess.
Yeah, there'd be one at the actual.
Okay.
You notice, what we're planning to say, if you give an average a score of that road, we're going to put that for. We used to go out here still, we used to go out and we drive the road, we rated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's just, this is more precise.
And I can tell based on like the camera view, like it, these are
all cracking.
Yeah.
Potholes. It's picking all that up.
It's getting manholes. Valves.
Yes. Manholes, valves. We're going to have a lot of fire hydrants put in there. I think they went and getting that. And then, I just noticed, I mean, that's all good information. The other information, which most of the mill put in their upcoming project, we put in the middle of the night. Yeah, so I can filter out the hydrant, we have the fire hydrant.
So if you click on one, what is it? Is that, it gives you an address, okay? So does it give you a picture?
It'll be signed, and then if he's wanting to, he can go around the other fire hydrant and get the picture and it'll show up.
But it gives you the water size, the water line size?
I don't know if that's in.
So it doesn't automatically take that picture from the truck?
Correct. Not the hydrants, but the manholes, the valves, the signs, the columns that it does. It doesn't do the hydrants.
Got it.
But eventually it could pull up that hydrant and say that's an 8-inch line.
Yeah, so they're working on being able to import line instead of just points.
Okay.
Right now, you can only look at points, so they're trying to get to put a line in there. So you can create work orders with that as well. So like let's say Keith went out with a fire hydrant, had a broken line to it. He can create a work order on this hydrant itself and then assign it to someone to go to. I'm going to go back to the work order. So since November, Keith and his guys have crashed almost 1,200 stacks. That could be any of these things from, he's got like bit casters here, he's got water line, water valve that's kind of been replaced. There's been sewer leaks that have been cracked. So really nice, you click on all these items here, and let me show you the bit casters. You can track mistakes, so that's one of the more important ones you can track on this. So like if you get a blue stakes request in on the blue stake, and then you can take a picture of it, mark it as done, and then if the contractor fix it, you guys have documentation that the water line is marked, it was marked here, and now they can cross the track instead of the same report. We're using that for all the blue stakes on the year as well.
So on the cost, that $8,500, is that like Sirius XM radio? That's what it costs us for the first year. We say it's $8,500 a year, or is it $8,500 for the first year? I'm just curious how long we can anticipate that type of pricing.
Locked in for 3 years, but it's all right now.
Okay, you're on a free trial right now. Is that how you've been using it?
No, so we partnered with these guys. So we're the only one in the state that does use the title.
So they're a startup.
Yeah, they're actually improved.
And then the other thing, I guess, is you say it is based kind of somewhat on linear feet of the roadways within the city.
Yeah.
How often do they evaluate that? So new developments, new subdivision.
They just go up $150 per mile.
Mile. Okay.
Is the data able to be
export it. In 3 years, we want to switch to BMC company. We can export it and not start over.
I have exported this data already. In case you guys don't want to move forward with it, you guys still have the data for the but it's nice because let's say he's retired in how many years, then the next guy can see all of the history of what's been done over the last how many years.
Is there, whatever, this is the startup world, there would typically be a major competitor to this? Is there one?
So iWorks, very significantly more expensive. Yeah. Probably 2x, 3x.
Yeah.
So it was kind of
expensive software. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
But it's not like this because it's asset management. This is huge at that price.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the price seems actually great. The question would be, is because it's a, whatever, a startup, if you have, well, I'm making this all up, but if you have, say, WW Clyde come in and do a big project, and they say, oh, we work with this software, sorry, we don't know these Germans, it won't work for what we're doing. Is there a scenario where that's the case?
I don't think that would be the case, okay. Really, because this is for in-house, not...
Yeah, they wouldn't use the label.
It's an in-house product. Okay, yeah. It's not. Right,
this
that
is,
makes sense.
This is more like, hey, somebody from the office should call, they can send someone to look at it. Yeah. They can send to look at it.
Cool.
And we can add more users to it also. As soon as you're they can do it, the farm operating, they can do it. There's no extra charge for
the whole people to put all that. Do you, like, have you gotten to the point now where it's like, I can't live without this?
No. I mean, it's good information to have. Yeah. Just writing it down in a notebook.
Yeah. Getting people to use, is getting people to use it hard? Because whatever, I deal with
it's,
that every
it's
day.
It's been a challenge.
Yeah.
It's pretty user-friendly, but along with you guys.
Yeah.
Remember to take a picture. And I have to remind them, right? Make sure you're taking a picture of your violators.
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing your workers. I go a day or two and they'll see too many come in. Remind them, oh, yeah, we forgot. Well, and it's hard. We'll go out and remind them a little something. I'll forget to do it, but we go back the next day and take a picture of your great work order.
Yeah.
There is ways you can pull up reports, you can pull up. It depends on how it's. Labeled, but if you call it water main breaks, water surface replacements, sewer replacements,
reserves, pool
slip-offs, so we call that, it's pretty user friendly.
Yeah.
I think it's important to have some, if you don't go with this, go someplace else. We need some type of workflow.
Sure.
We need, versus, like, write something on paper and have them say, go do this, and they just add back to what you do with that. Yeah. We need something to be able to track.
But the key to it is you've got to continue to put the information in.
Yes. Adoption's huge. If you don't adopt it, then it's a waste of money.
It's 30 seconds for, say, we've got a little pothole park on it. They go there, they show up with their asphalt, take a picture of it, pothole repair. That's it. It creates you have to remember. I know this is a public hearing.
You're good.
Do the police have access to this?
Yeah.
Because they need a warrant for that, or could that be like
city information?
City owns it.
Yeah.
I think the. Didn't you say an individual can get on and see this?
Not right now.
But eventually.
Yeah, so they're actually working on, this is like a next year project for this company, citizen report piece. So citizens can come on and file a complaint because it's all in the city office. They can do the complaint for this. It's a that's all you can do. I'll keep that one out of here. That's an option, but as far as typically, what we've seen is, if not publicly advertised, then I will say it is to meet all the privacy policies. So, where's that face is automatically, where's that license plate? they're not feeling the thing that the privacy issues. I thought that would mean that they're not having the privacy issues. So, just the work orders?
Yeah.
So I can export a spreadsheet, and it'll track, you can filter it, so like, let's say you want to see how many blue state requests you did, it'll print off every blue state request. We want to repair the Android service, repair all that stuff, which will also support.
My question is, what's the negative? Is anybody against it? Is there a reason not to do it? Michelle, you have reservations?
$700 a month. Yeah. Is that what it is? Something like that?
Yeah.
No, I think it's been a good thing. It's helped keep them and just sort of kind of track what they're doing on a daily basis. Or it's been a benefit to me.
Yeah. So you say it's been almost 1,200 days between November and half. Do you think you've done that many?
That's a track, that's a lot. That's not, probably not all of them.
That's not his business office. Knowing Aaron, that issue where some of these people in spring, every day when he's out, we killed the rose bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
So every day when he's out spraying, he takes his picture and he goes that he's on it. We're able to track him.
On the blue state stuff,
So there's probably a place there you can make notes too.
You can make notes. Automatically assign them on the air. When we do a complete response, I'll go back and I'll sign everything that's there. They did asphalt this morning. I'll look at that. I'll look at that one tomorrow. I'll go make sure everybody's assigned that. So, you know, if you wanted to go a step further, but it could be, which I don't think you need to, but you can associate all the costs you put in the hourly wage, the truck wage, and this, and have a total for what that water leak costs us to do. That's going to be a lot more work. We're glad I don't have time for that. But
you could.
You could.
That's super interesting.
It's a lot more that you can do with the software that I don't think it's gotten to yet, but there's nothing. It's endless. We can change for hours, but a lot of
that. Potentially saying maybe a vandalism type deal that impacted the utility, what you just, that scenario you just went through on that incident, you could generate that if we was going to go after damages or something to that effect.
So what's your feelings?
I like it for the workforce side of it, because, you know, we've got a record of it. We said, well, what are you doing? This day we did these five things.
We can add to it now if you want to do damages were in different things.
All projects, you go out 26, 27, 28, 29, those years, we've got little projects, and you can see the estimated cost. That's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
It helps us for applying. You know, our roads aren't in the best shape. We're going to spend a lot of money on the upcoming years. We have a lot of work to get that far. I think it's a good thing.
Are we voting on this?
How do you feel?
It seems like a no-brainer.
Good.
Yeah, for an old Amish guy, I'm just amazed. I like it.
So is this an action item tonight?
So I'm going to move that we accept this software.
How about
the what? Approve the purchase of this software to help us move the city forward in our
Biolytics.
Is the name of it. It is Biolytics. Dialectic software.
Second.
Got a motion. Did you second it?
We got it.
Okay. Councilmember Thompson.
Aye.
Gardner, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Street, aye.
Hey, he's not here. Do we want to table that?
No, he asked me if I would claim this. So Corey came in 2 weeks ago and discussed the right of way and gave the city an estimate of $45,000 to purchase property from him before that. And you all have a sent you out a copy of the notes and have a copy of this. So what Corey is, he's changed the layout of what he's anticipating. Change the layout of what he's asking for. So if you'll notice there on the left-hand side of the page, it's a little bit darker. Just as it comes around that one corner.
That first dog leg.
What?
Yeah, that.
Does that make sense?
No. Was it a half acre?
No. It's a little bit more than half acre, but it's about a half acre. So now what he's decided is he would like us to purchase just that property.
This darkest purple L in the top left corner.
Yep, this right here. This,
the 90 degree.
Just that L. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just a little bit.
And just to help him out on this project, right?
Well, he's claiming that he doesn't need that to do his project.
Because if we don't buy that, he's going to come in with a cul-de-sac and then he won't connect back to 50, correct? Without my understanding.
I think yeah.
But that cul-de-sac would be in violation because it would be too long of a cul-de-sac and then you got the fire, or he'd have to end it in an actual cul-de-sac so the fire truck could turn around.
Right.
I don't know if he's thought this all the time. I'm not against it. I actually think it would be great to have a road go all the way through from 500 East all the way to the highway. I think that's best for long-term planning, but I don't know if necessarily follow his logic.
Well, we figured out it's a little over half acre, and we looked it up on the county has it valued at, was it 22,000 an acre?
I thought 33 is what Rob said to me, but I couldn't
remember.
Was it 33? Could have been.
Yeah. But it wasn't 45.
But Peter says it's 45.
Okay. I'm not against this. What I'm trying to justify my mind is why are we buying it? If, yeah.
Well, even if you buy it now, you don't have to throw it in, but it would secure the right
for the future. But Corey's a smart human being. Corey is going to try to maximize his development.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
This seems to maximize the development by him just putting in the roadway the way in the portion he wants us to buy. Unless I'm missing something. I've not drawn quite as detailed as Corey, but I've filled with a bunch of random designs since the last meeting. The cul-de-sac's weird in and of itself.
Yeah.
Without getting into fire and all the other things, it's going to be complicated for him to do the cul-de-sac design that he proposed. I think by default, unless I'm missing something major, as I'd love to have the insight, this is going to be roughly the best density, greatest return on investment for Corey to do this. That being said, I question why we would buy the land. I'm not saying I'm against it, there's more information that justifies why we should have. But as a developer, it would make sense he would want to put in this himself. I get why he's selling the city, and then my bigger issue is in 3 years when he wants to go do phase two to the north, are we then bound to put in the curb gutter sidewalk road and improve his road in his subdivision?
The only thing we would be committed to is just the purchase, or just what the property that we own.
That we own, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to put in jeopardy the idea of the road going all the way to the highway. I think just for long-term structure of Richfield is, I mean, everyone's growing that way and that way. And if we don't take any kind of control of it, it's going to just kind of get jig-jog pieced around and we won't have any real flow to what happens.
It's going to
be jig-jog now.
It is right now.
No, it is.
Jig-jog here, yeah, jig-jog
that's
there.
True.
It's going to go down here and jig-jog and then go over here.
It will actually go all the way straight shot, I believe, from this road all the way to the highway.
Yeah,
except for this jog right here, which is annoying.
I don't think it will line up with the road in front of.
I think it does. It comes out the side of the trees and then goes all the way down to the doctor's.
It could.
I,
but it seemed to me like it was a little south.
I thought it was fairly close.
But it very well could be, Tanner. I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah. I think that's important to have a road that goes all the way. This thing annoys the crap out of me, though. It goes all the way there and then you got to do this. But I, unless there's something Corey's not telling us, I don't understand why he wants us to do this. Like, because I don't think he can create this plan.
I don't like this.
Well, I don't understand why his argument would be compelling to us.
And you do too.
Yeah.
I think Corey could develop with the way he talked at the last meeting. It'd be interesting. I talked to Ron about this. Does it make sense that the city table this for a minute and actually pay an engineer a little bit of money to do a little better design than me on graph paper and Google Earth underneath it, or Corey with his color pencils? Like, would it make sense that we maybe be a little proactive, spend a little money and say, does this make sense?
And have it hook into the short, where it hooks into the city, the actual.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's still
the
I don't think $17,000 is worth losing potentially this full long road, but I also don't understand. I think Corey has to do it regardless.
That's my question. Yeah. That's it regardless. I don't want to lose the road. I'm very in favor of if we can help spur growth and connect connections and water lines and roads, and we can help in those ways. I'm very much a proponent for that. I just have a question why. All the sketches I did, if I was developing this property, I would probably mirror what Corey has sketched here. It's better than the design I had. I was going to bring and show you guys as an example. Corey, I think, did a better job. And my intent would be I would phase this in a way and eventually connect everything. Corey's whole thing is he can't put lots on both sides of the portion of the road we're buying. So that is a higher cost per lot on that section of the road. Because you've already got a house to the south, and then the Kiesel's current homeless to the south. And west.
You got that transformer on the division box on the house. Yeah, everything has to go to the north there, likely, for that just for that section.
Sorry, Mike.
One thing to keep in mind on this is when you put in that original first development, the city went in either on sewer or water. And then the next developer, also over, well, I'm not exactly sure where it was. It was off of 118 to the west, came in and said, you did water on his, why aren't you participating on mine? You're going to run into the same situation on this. The next developer kind of come in, well, you bought the right way to approve that project, why not mine? You're falling into the same trap.
Part of this is it is a master plan road, and there is intention of having it connect. So if he were to develop it in a way that stopped that, that's the reason I'm thinking about it. At least that's the reason I'm thinking about it.
But the thing I'm concerned about is he's not even putting it on this road he's putting in isn't really a master plan. The master plan shows it going right there like that.
But it does line up to... Michelle, if you could zoom out, I believe if you jog by Kiesel's property, I'm going to call it Kiesel's, right there. So you'd start off there, top right corner, do it with the dirt patches, right? Yep, and come through. That will line up with that 1300, I believe, road, just up a little orange line right there.
That's the goal, in my mind, is
it's
creating
right to the north side of Natalie's line.
It lines up with that line that's there right now. He's going to do a jog and go down the middle of that. So it's not going to line up. Does that, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
if it doesn't, then I think that's kind of I don't want to say a deal breaker, but that needs to be the point of this, why this is beneficial to the city. In my
opinion.
It needs to be straight.
Yes, yeah. So that we have one long shot to the highway. Exactly. But otherwise, this idea is no better than what we currently have going through the cul-de-sac and then hanging left and right and whatever. The whole point of this, in my mind, is that we get one long straight shot to then build town off of, honestly, going that direction.
You're going to have a jog regardless on that line. If you come from that 1300 up, you've got Jody's house. There will have to be a jog somewhere.
But not 290 degrees.
May I suggest that, I don't know this, but Corio's is partial.
Yes.
So if the road comes from here,
straight, yeah, then you have
would that help him? But I'm kind of thinking he's still
going to
want
to
drop it.
Could we ask for an easement or whatever, like an outline of what that looks like, that the city has granted any, a road easement through there, even though I don't know how this all works, but is that a possibility? I know we had an easement going past where my house is going to be. We had an easement because of the sewer. I guess the sewer is actually there, though.
Right.
But there is a road easement, even though we don't own it. No, there's not. We don't have it. We have no agreement. Okay. Just a sewer easement.
Water and sewer there.
Okay.
He put the infrastructure in for sewer goes for that. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
That could change. It's anticipated that will happen, but
yeah,
there's not anything that's installed that's needed.
Okay.
I would question if we can hire an engineer to kind of do a quick overview on this.
I think he has, honestly. I don't remember what he told Dave.
If he's got something a little more formal with dimensions than this, it would help make sense, and then have our engineers review it.
I'm going to just table it and we'll tell Corey that he has to come in and
Barry's testimony. This link is the sheer amount of county roads that get paved in our county, like this should be one. This should be something that the county helps. It's not in Richfield City. It will eventually, hopefully, be. But coming off the highway, like this should or could be an important road.
Well, they've asked us before about what. They've asked us, what is your thoughts? They spend a certain amount every year to do roads, and and they've asked us before what would, you know, be a beneficial road to do.
I think rather than a second connection from Austin to Central, this is one that could be important if the county could help with it. But anyway, that's a lot of steps to do.
Yeah, and it's supposed to go straight. And if we need to follow it, if we can.
You put in the time and effort to figure out what's good to ask for access spacing, street spacing, and all that. Are you talking about the county? Is the county road?
This is just a master plan.
It's our transportation master plan puts this well down from here.
It doesn't.
No hills are also.
Yeah, right. So you connect to someone, right?
Yeah. But it's currently connected through that cul-de-sac, I believe. But then you'd need to hang a right.
Actually, we own that road at the bottom.
There is a master plan through there. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
We own that road at the bottom. That's been annexed into the city years ago. That was done, what's it been, 20 years?
Which road, sorry?
See the yellow line that comes down and does this hoopy hoops and then goes over to where Jody Brown lives there?
Oh.
That yellow line that's annexed into the city. That road, we pay the county to grade that every year.
Okay, I do know. Oh, so that's about 2008.
Yes.
But
from the sewer project, all that sewer land got
away. Okay. So, it's already, we're already on.
This one right here? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Right?
Yeah, because this parcel.
Right. So we're already, that's already our responsibility. We have a manhole, right? Well, would be straight down from where Tanner's building his home. There'd be a manhole right in the edge of that building.
I think we're at a bit of a disconnect. I think we really should try to do what we got to do to make that as much of a straight shot as possible. And I don't know why Corey needs us to, I mean, I don't know why his ask is, I don't quite get it. I guess if it makes more money for Corey, that's one thing. But on what grounds is he saying it's a good idea for us to participate?
I don't know. Yeah.
Did he mention that when he was here last time and I missed it?
His theory is he'll put a cul-de-sac right here, which will create some weird gaps and then not make this portion we would buy connecting viable.
But I don't think that's possible. And maybe I'm, am I wrong?
What do you mean?
It's not possible, and that's against our city ordinance. That would be too long of a cul-de-sac. We don't allow that.
I think you're absolutely right. I do. Because they're going to have it go up and then turn.
Yeah.
Like an L shape. And yes, I think
Those, when you go in and do one of these half cul-de-sacs, you go up to
What was that?
The dimensions are a little bit weird from between these two roads. The road that would be lit on and where the proposed road is. They are slightly odd dimensions, which is why Corey's looking at a cul-de-sac. It does make sense.
Okay, Corey owns everything to the north of that line. This is Kiesel up to here, correct?
He owns Kiesel.
He owns Kiesel's too?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Well, the only reason you want to do that is because he doesn't want to develop his piece of heaven over here.
Well, then, instead of making it something like.
That's, yeah.
Well, something like this would make a lot more sense.
So I'll just go and state a motion, or are you?
Yes, you need to table it.
Or why we want to buy just that.
Just go straight.
Just go straight with it, yeah.
I just want to understand, like, it's not a lot of money to, if this long straight shot is potentially on the line, let's spend the money. I don't know why we are. I guess I don't know why. This can't happen without us participating. I just feel like I missed something.
Well, the only thing that I see that, this is just my opinion, the reason he's asking to purchase it is he can just spend it in the cul-de-sac and just throw that up.
Yeah.
Whatever the way he's going to be,
right?
But unless we purchase it, then he can make a cul-de-sac. He doesn't have to put that cul-de-sac.
If that's the case,
to, but I don't think it'll maximize his return. And I believe Corey will.
You would think he would. Yes. But if that's the master plan street to the county, why would the county approve that?
That's all city, isn't it?
Everything he's talking about.
Well, county owns Dr. Lane, is what I call it. He's and then it's left side is the city. So
this big parcel right here is in the city, Josh.
Okay.
And then this parcel right here.
But he's in the county.
This right here is in the county.
Yeah.
Okay. He's going to have
right.
And I don't know why we would fall. Our master transportation
plan. Well, and it's not that we wouldn't follow it, but if we want the road to go where we want the road to go, then by law we're obligated to pay him for that right of way. Or eminent domain or whatever. But we can't just. He's saying that he doesn't need that connection to 50s in order to develop. I'm just saying that's what he's saying. He doesn't need that connection to 50s, so that's why he's saying.
There is one design that I fiddle with it coming off of, we call it Tanner's New Road, that would just make a loop up and around and connect out to the east to Dr. Lane or whatever you call it. It would make it where he doesn't need to go by Kiesel's. And there is an option for that. If that is the direction he chose, I would be very favorable to acquiring the ground.
Yes, I didn't think about that. He could just run it all the way through it the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Flow everything out to the east and not connect them. And if that's the case, then I would say yes, we need to consider that.
Mm-hmm.
So assuming we want the road.
Simplify the developer requirements. And part of that list was getting pre-engineered type stuff at the city.
We're not to that point, not to that point yet. He's just making a, he just wants us to purchase the right one. Before he sells, he's going to sell that piece of property. He's going to subdivide the house up and sell it. So he's saying he's not going to keep the property to the north of that house that we need for, that we would need for an access unless the city wants to purchase.
I'm going to make a stab at a motion. I move we table this to a time when Corey could bring us a better drawing with some dimensions and how he would proceed to give us more information to make a better decision. Does that tie together right?
I'll second that motion.
And a realistic price.
That's another discussion, but I don't have time for that.
Then a motion and a second.
Thompson, aye.
Gardner, aye.
Hanson, aye.
Street, aye.
Motion carries. That's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questions for that. Other business. Keith, you got anything? Tanner?
Nope.
Reagan?
Yes, I received an email, I think, via Mayor from Matthew Mills about an AI program. Anybody else get it?
I did, yeah.
Are you aware of this?
Yeah, I deleted it. I didn't look at it.
I'm actually super intrigued with it. I know very little.
It's artificial insemination? Okay.
Your breeding process is going to change drastically.
Breeding? That would be great.
I'm not sure how much I can say, but I would say we table that idea for now. I do know of a group working on it, that it may become just a free product group, let's say. I don't know how far it's out. I don't know what I dare say in the public meeting at this point, but I think it's super intriguing. I've heard a lot of the ideas and the concept. It would be outstanding when we're talking to Corey to be able to pull up certain data quickly. I think it's an invaluable tool for us. If that other project doesn't come to fruition, I would be intrigued to explore something with a company like Matt Mills. So that's all I've got. I don't know if somebody needs to respond to that. If anybody has,
you should. He seems to know you.
That could be true. You know. Everybody's okay with that. You want to talk about AI?
I think my AI and his AI are two different things. Although he probably knows more about the other one than I do, too.
I used to teach AI before it was AI.
Do you have anything?
Well, no. Yeah, I guess this is the weekend that the AT or the Jamboree, right? Is that coming? Is it this week?
That's Monday.
I'm just curious how that's gonna, obviously that's a pretty good economic driver in our community for a short period of time. This fire, well, interesting to see how that impacts that event.
Yeah.
I assume that'd be the case.
They usually have 5 to 5:50, and they're down to 4:12. And someone said today that it's dropping to 4:12. I don't know. All of the rides are open except for 3. There's 3 upon the Mineral Cove that they won't be able to access, but all the others are available that can be used for the ride.
It's a dairy trail.
That's what I know.
Yeah, it's gonna cost us a little money on this one.
The Diesel in the Mountains, is that the term?
Yeah.
Is this weekend?
Yes, weekend.
And that's supposed to have quite a turnout.
Have we got help from the county with this year?
Also from the Highway Patrol, they've made a commitment to the chief to help.
Well, that's fine. If they're coming to help, then not always guys over because they've got big tires on their trucks. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, Barbara, who took this advice, became that distance. I mean, I know it's.
We should play nice if we can play nice.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially for the other side of that coin, huh?
Yeah.
Elaine?
You're
good. Michelle? Okay. Look for a motion to go into an executive session.
I would move we enter an executive session.
I second that. Yeah.
Thompson, aye.
Parker.
Thanks, bye.
A lot.
Walkers and bikers.
Yeah, that's turned out to be a pretty good.
There's a nice little pass.
Stay open, then you can't get it closed.
So the people for the light and the library board, and I don't mean these people, I'm just to their proposal. Austin Mazzelli, is that my state name? And Phoenix Aguilera Bailey.
And I don't know either one of those.
We need to replace Ben
Taylor.
Passed away. And then who's the other one to replace? I know she said that there's still a vacancy.
I think it's Kanish.
Oh, I think you're right. It is Kanish.
Yeah. And so the rest of the library board is extremely happy to have these people come on.
Austin, how did you spell his last name?
Austin Ozelli, O-Z-Z-E-L-L-I.
I've never heard of either one.
Yeah, I haven't either. I don't know what they were.
And these were both recommended by the current library board.
Yes, and the librarian too.
And they're favorable, no concerns?
That's what, yes.
Yeah.
But Lacey,
Echeveria.
Echeveria.
Ask the Echeveria.
But we're not getting the people that are like want to put in this. Geez, it's typically a man that thinks you're a woman and so forth and so on in the library. We're getting people that have a kind of a common sense approach to stuff.
I dealt with all those kids. Think about for all those years.
But I'm serious. Are we getting people that are?
We're going with kids.
For real? Yeah, think of the drawing. Sure, oh my.
Well, that's concerning to me. I mean, people can do whatever they want. I'm fine with that. And I don't want it in the library. It is concerning.
That was my reason if the library board supports them, because I don't think any of us know them. So we're just.
Yeah, I'm going with it.
So maybe they'll close their eyes and pick somebody on Main Street. So I guess all we're talking about, we're not talking about the competency of the people. We're talking about whether we're going to support the recommendation of the library.
From the library, yes.
Essentially.
So.
Just in case there's not to.
Yeah.
The library board chosen. Yeah.
Okay.
Agreed. Need a motion?
No.
Yeah.
We'll actually appoint them at the next meeting. That's when you can make the list.
I need to get like profile pics so the mayor can verify his consent.
Well, Austin's not on Facebook. It'd be nice to come to the meeting. It'd be nice if we did. It'd be nice if they could come to the meeting.
Okay.
What was the names again?
Austin and Harriet.
Austin and Harriet. What was it?
Austin Ozelli and Phoenix Aguilar Vega. And Aguilar Vega is Aguilar Vega.
So Austin, Ozzy, Osborne. Austin, Ozzy, what?
Austin, Osborne.
Texture.
O-Z-Z-E-L-L-I.
Okay.
If they can learn to write their own names, I think they're literate enough to be on the library board.
Yeah. Okay. Item B is a potential litigation. And this has got to do with the sale of the property, the